Okay, listen close. We've got an interview with K8, one of the DJs who will be playing at Ultrasonic 3 this September. She played at key raves and festivals in Ototahi throughout the 90s, not to mention 3 years at the helm of the Rotate Your State show here on RDU. She's returned to the decks as Shanita Vice in her current town, Geelong, and we'll find out about what else she's been up to. Kate, how are you going?
Hey, good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
We're a few weeks out from Ultrasonic 3. How are you feeling ahead of that?
I'm, you know, mid-level pumped. I'm trying to save a bit of energy for being super pumped in the weeks to come. But yeah, really excited to be coming back for it.
Yeah, for
sure.
It's
going to be epic.
Yeah, that's so cool. Are you going to be, it's kind of full circle, I guess, for you. How did it all start out for you DJing? Because you were based here in Ototahi, weren't you?
I was, yep. I was born in Christchurch, grew up in St Albans, and lived there until I was 24. So I was lucky enough to be around for that whole 90s period, you know, that I guess now we're all thinking about again with this 30-year reunion of Ultrasonic. I started DJing the following year, so I've worked it out that I think my first gig was in early 1996. So we'll have to have another reunion rave next year for
me.
Yeah,
for
that.
Sure, surely. It'll be awesome.
Yeah, but I was actually really drawn at the time to ambient music and all the kind of really interesting electronica that was coming out then. And that was often something that, you know, if you went to a big rave, there would be a chill out zone as well, you know. So I played in the chill out zone.
Yeah, that's awesome. Having that specific space as well, I think, is really important. It definitely speaks to all of the really, really positive things I've heard about the rave scene back then.
Like if you went, you were there for the night and you were kind of there with all your buddies and, you know, no man or woman was left alone, you know.
That's really cool to hear.
And it was such a great time, and I just have been thinking about it so much more with the lead up to this now. Yeah, but I also played on RDU for 3 years, so I've got all that really, really awesome memories of coming up to the station every week when it used to be at the university and walking up those heavy metal stairs, like up the exterior of the building, carrying crates of records and CDs and things to do my show.
That's really cool. Yeah, are you still very much like based on using vinyl? Has it been consistent throughout?
Yeah. So actually in the 90s, I did play more, like a lot of the music that I was playing then was really only coming out on CD. So weirdly, I've kind of come around the back door and come back to playing more vinyl. And my friends back then who were all dance DJs, you know, everybody always had a set of decks set up at their house or, you know, it was kind of just something that everybody knew how to do. Probably like a lot of young people these days would know how to use a digital mixer, digital setup. So it was just something you'd always hop on at someone's house and have a play. So then a few years ago, I decided that's what I want to do. I've always loved doing it. So I've kind of come back around and gotten back into playing music again. But now I'm playing stuff for people to dance to and, like, really just fun, like a bunch of different stuff, a disco, 80s even, you know.
Yeah,
like heaps of stuff. Yeah, and when I came back last year to play at Heads in the Clouds, I played a more retro, like a super retro set. With lots of tunes that had samples in them that we would have been listening to when we were listening to rave music in the 90s. But this time when I come back, I'm going to be doing something, I think, a little bit different. Again.
Yeah. So have you got like a sort of a vision of what you're looking to play at Ultrasonic 3?
I do have a little, I don't want to give too much away.
Yeah, fair enough.
and the set times haven't been published, but I've got a feeling I'm playing a little bit earlier on. We'll have to talk to PZ about that. But my loose plan is to, and this is partly for practical reasons because I'm flying over from Australia. I'm mostly going to bring 7 inches.
Cool.
And I'm going to try and play a bunch of stuff from the early 90s that we were all really into when the rave scene kind of took off in Christchurch.
Yeah, that'll be awesome.
Yeah, so flashback central
for a few people. That's amazing, yeah. I've definitely been hearing a lot about that time. What would you say are some kind of really standout venues that you can recall?
I guess when I was still at high school, everybody was talking about the Worcester Bar. I think I only went there once or twice. I was a very well-behaved child, so I wasn't that into sneaking out, you know. But I certainly had friends that went there. And I have, you know, when I think of Worcester Bar, I think of, like, the Stone Roses and that kind of crossover with indie and that kind of, you know, that sort of sound. Like, there was definitely just a lot in the ether about how cool the Worcester Bar was. And but then, I mean, all the early raves were really at people's, in warehouses and in people's, you know, flats and things.
Yeah.
And then there were a few years where they were kind of in illegal sort of spaces as well, enough on the Port Hills and at the side of the Bellbird. And then venue-wise, then kind of a little bit more mid to late 90s, there was Quadrophenia, which was awesome, always so much fun. Upstairs, I can't remember what street it was on. Obviously, Ministry was massive. I actually, the second gig I ever played at was the $6 million rave at Ministry in 1996, because it was like the eve of my birthday as well, so I always remember the date of it. So I did get the chance to play at Ministry a few times, but I played in the front bar. Yeah, where else? Did I mention Liquor Lounge? That was downstairs on... Oh, you'll have to get someone who's got a better memory of Christchurch.
No, that's all good. It's so cool to hear about. Yeah, no, that's awesome. It sounds very, very memorable. Speaking of memorable, I'm assuming there'll be a few familiar faces potentially playing at Ultrasonic or heading along?
Oh, yeah, totally. Oh, it'll be amazing to catch up with a bunch of the humans and people who DJed and were part of the scene back then. The lineup is insane, especially Mechanism coming back and playing is just like a total coup. That's crazy.
Yeah, 100%. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm looking forward personally to seeing Solid State. He was amazing at Heads in the Clouds last year, like totally blew up the place.
Yeah.
Martin J, Flip Matt, of course, who's Obi-Wan, I think, currently, maybe. Yeah, it's going to be crazy. I kind of want to make two more copies of myself so I can see everybody, because I think there's like three zones.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, there's definitely so, like, you're spoiled for choice, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's going to be the main challenge for the night. I don't think anyone's going to get bored or be stuck for anything to do. It's going to be about trying to actually settle in and dance and catch up and catch everyone and make the night go for long enough so you can do all of those things all at once.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So how are things going with you kind of getting back into DJing, like in Oz, like based in Geelong?
Yeah, awesome. So Geelong's an hour up the road from Melbourne. When I first moved to Australia, I lived in Melbourne for a few years.
Yeah.
And then, and now I'm just up the road, which is really nice. And there is a really cute, like, awesome scene here in Geelong. And bars that I can go play at. And it's kind of fun because, you know, you can probably tell from my voice, I'm not a spring chicken. I'm a middle-aged woman. And having a skill like being able to, and I've actually met some older people who have gotten into DJing who play digital, but for me, playing vinyl, like, it's something that, I don't know, respect isn't maybe quite the word I'm looking for, but I've found that I get this really amazing feedback from the people I meet who are a lot younger than me, who come and see that I can do this thing that's just taken years.
Yeah, for sure. I think people do really appreciate it. And it feels really organic. Like, when I've seen people playing sets, like, with vinyl, I think it's really, really cool.
Yeah, and honestly, like, I totally admire when I see people who really know their way around a digital setup and all the amazing things and the fun that they can have playing, you know, like, yeah, it's super skilled. But that's just, for me personally, not, like, I love the hunt. I love it that some of the records I've got, I bought when I was, like, this, I still have the copy of, like, I still have a Prince 7-inch that I bought at the Merivale Mall, you know.
Oh,
in the,
cool, yeah.
There was a shop in there called Soundwave, you know, and I saved up my pocket money and I went and bought it there sometime in the 80s, and I still have that copy with the sticker on it, you know. So everything for me, I know, again, it's such an old person thing to say, but everything has a memory, you know.
Yeah, and, but that's so cool, though, yeah.
Yeah. Or when Echo Records, they shut down, they used to be massive, and they had this really big upstairs section as well. And when they were closing that down and they put all their 7-inches on sale, I bought a heap of stuff, and I still have a bunch of them all still with the Echo Records sticker on them. So every time I play one of them, it kind of takes me back to that
moment.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know?
Yeah. It makes it more meaningful to you.
It does,
I think.
And especially,
I just think it's great in terms of, like, the more variety we kind of have in terms of DJs using different mediums, I feel it's the better. Like, sure, there's, like, people, as you say, who know their way around a digital setup to an amazing extent, but I really feel that, yeah, people who, like, know vinyl and really, really do well at that are still, like, they have their place too, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I get the feeling, I think, from the group chat for some of the DJs coming over, it looks to me like a fair few of them will be hauling out the old vinyl, and I know some of them have had to sort of dig around in parents' attics and things like that. But it's going to be amazing to see what some of them dig up. I don't have, you know, for me, I've been still picking some of the things up a bit more recently, thinking, oh, I really want to get that track that I loved back then, you know, when we went to that warehouse party in Bedford Row, you know, whatever it was. but yeah, some of those guys that were actually playing at those parties then, they're going to, and James as well, like PZ, he's got a massive collection still. I'm sure he'll be bringing out some pearls for us.
Yeah, for sure. So, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be truly, truly awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah, no, that should be so, so good. It's going to be, one heck of a night, that's for sure. But yeah, no, we'll all be definitely looking forward to seeing you big time, and I'm sure there will be many other people as well who will be looking forward to that as well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we really appreciate you taking the time to have a chat with us, Kate. And
all
the best until you head on over to here in Ōtautahi.
I know, like 3 and a bit weeks now, isn't it?
Yeah, not long to go, that's for sure.
Yeah, okay.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. You have a good one.
Thank you. You too. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.